Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know, the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwood with you. And, you know, after a week in New York, it's great to be back in Chicago. Of course, it's not so great to be back here with the BS refinery problems that they have, which has pushed our gasoline up like 40 cents a gallon. I paid today $3.40 a gallon on the BS of the refineries. Now, are you really going to tell me that was the only game in town? You know, it's amazing the things that we get away with and we listen to and that we take from the upper echelon, where they just push us around. And of course, we know it's driving season. We know what's going on. We know that they're going to have record profits again, and you know, whine all the way to the bank with two loaves of bread under each arm, and tell us, oh well, we had this little refinery problem in Indiana, so everybody in this area, your gas is going to be up 40 cents a gallon. And of course, you all know how I hate that BS and that manipulated crap, but no different than what's going on in other parts of the globe as we look. And any of you caught me last week, I was on I got gypped on Friday with the raising of the flag, the American flag in Cuba. You know, I knew it was going to happen too. It's one of those funny things. You know, I delayed my flight, waiting, because I knew that I wanted to be on Varney, and waiting that he was going to give me, you know, like 10 minutes to talk about the Chinese Ponzi scheme, the Chinese bubble. And I, you know, I've been doing this for so long, so I kind of know, I can kind of feel it, and I just knew. But I did get in a couple of minutes, and you know, and we were talking about, you know, what is the bubble, and they brought up all the things that why it's not a bubble, the reserve, the money they have, and the, you know, things that they did. But let's take a look at China. Okay, now China, out of all the economies, is the most manipulated that we know of. I mean, obviously there's probably some smaller ones that aren't as important to us, but let's look at what happened last week. We had devaluing currency 3 days in a row. Now, it shouldn't be a surprise, because we talked about this with Trey Canepa. We talked about this with the Badger months ago. So why would we be surprised? You know, one of the things we talk about often here is the way that they pegged it, and they only allowed so much movement. But of course, what does currency devaluation really say to you? Well, it says we got a problem. We got problems, baby. We are in trouble. Why else would you devalue your currency? Why else would you want to push goods out? Now, China reported an 8% drop in exports. Not very good. So they had to do something. Now, they've tried, they've done all sorts of manipulation over the last few weeks as their stock market started to crumble. But, you know, you ever remember the old cartoons? You put your finger in the dam and in one hole and then another hole breaks open. Well, don't you think that this is going to happen? Does this not cry out to you? We got a problem, and we don't know what to do about it. So what we're going to do is we're going to do what a good Keynesian economist theorist does, and we're going to print more money. We're going to go ahead and say, you know what? Let's get the government involved more, and let's bring in more stuff. Let's devalue our currency, because we want to run a Ponzi scheme. And why is it a Ponzi scheme? Well, think about it. The typical definition of a Ponzi scheme, that the Cliff Notes version, is new money to pay back old debt. Well, what are they doing? They're creating the opportunity for new money to pay off the debt that they already have. Let's not talk again about the hidden cities that that have been there for, I don't know, probably 20 years now. Okay, that have a full value on their books. Let's not talk about how they manipulated copper for the loan value. And of course, one of the Badgers' favorites is, let's not talk about that they tend to, you know, overcompensate when commodity bubbles go crazy. And of course, built their, you know, we had the three little pigs. They built their house out of straw, twigs and brick. And of course, in China, they built their house out of cotton when cotton could never go down again. So is that not a Ponzi scheme? You are borrowing money. You are making money so that you can fund debt. Now, I mean, the biggest Ponzi scheme in the world is obviously Social Security. And because the imbeciles that run the department and the country will not make an adjustment to Social Security, it will continue on to be the biggest Ponzi scheme going. Because when it was created, I mean, it's a good concept, but you have to adjust for life. You know, when we go back to the origination of Social Security, the average age of living was probably 62 or 63. So you put in a 65 to accommodate so that, you know, one person is not trying to fund 10. Now we have the average living age, I think, I don't know, some 72 or 75. So why wouldn't you use the same process that would work? Because then you wouldn't have as many people that you'd have to pay in, which is like a tax, but you would pay in. And then, of course, there would be money there. But now, when the bigger part of our, when there's more non-working people than working people, it makes a problem. So, I mean, that is the biggest Ponzi scheme. But we have Ponzi schemes all over the world. You know, Bernie Madoff went to jail for it. And, of course, rightfully so. And many others, like Roger on Rodham, whatever. You know, that was about insider trading. But there's been many schemes over the years. Okay? I mean, and we continue to fall for the same mess. So doesn't it seem to reason to you that the markets themselves... And forget about the Ponzi scheme theory right now for a minute, but doesn't it make sense to you that markets themselves that always do the same thing will do the same thing again? Are we not able to understand and comprehend that these things do happen over and over again? And that we can't allow things to get out of hand, and that if we would just meet troubles heads up, we could probably fix them. Wouldn't that be an interesting challenge just to go ahead and fix the problem? But no, we don't want to do that because we've got too many people that want to, you know, deal with, you know, problems in the hidden way. Hopefully not to ruffle any feathers because we got to get them votes, baby. Now, again, you got to look at this and you got to look. I mean, look at the motley crew of candidates that are running. Hillary Clinton. I did not send those emails classified. I did not send those classified emails. I thought you were going to say, I did not have sex with that woman. It almost sounded like Bill for a minute. Now, again, why is it that we can't just live up to it, own it, and say, okay, we got to fix it? But no, we don't want to fix it. We want to continue to grow into a bigger problem and a bigger bubble because that's the Keynesian way. That's what we do. Okay, and again, I'm not saying anything else is dramatically better, but I am saying that you got to fix it. We need to fix it. You can't let things continue to go out of line until, okay, because until never comes. When until comes, it is too late. But anyways, I got a great show for you today. We're going to have Bill Whittle around. And as you know, I love Bill Whittle when he comes around. So we're going to talk with the Bill and we're going to have a lot of things going on here. And I want to make sure that you check out thebubbashow.org. It is amazing how many comments I get of things we write about that we write 6 months in advance before they ever happen. But also check out our friends at Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders, as well as my Canadian friends, because I now have a great deal at TD Waterhouse, Thinkorswim in Canada. Just email me at bub@thebubbashow.org and I'll hook you up. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Make sure you come back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz.
Stay with me, man. Listen up. This is philosophical.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and as you guys know, I love Bill Whittle, and I really respect what he does. I love what he says, and you don't have to agree with everything, but I think one thing you do have to agree with is that he does make sense. Okay? Again, you don't have to agree. You know, this is not... Bubba's a big advocate of the freedom to believe in whatever you want to believe. You don't have to believe what I believe, but I also believe that we need to be open-minded and listen to what might be better. But here, let's get to Bill Whittle and crew and hear what's on their mind today. So here we go.
Well, on my daily trip over to visit Instapundit, the online home of our friend, the blog father, Glenn Reynolds, I came across a tweet he'd cited by a foreigner, Milo Yiannopoulos, which read, "Republicans smugly predicting Trump will fail from self-inflicted wounds don't see what a stunning admission of their own failure that is." Boy, I couldn't agree more. What that means basically is if Mitch McConnell and John Boehner were actually doing their jobs as opposition leaders, there would be no appeal to the Donald at all. None. He'd be nothing but a collection of loose cannons and loose wires, and we'd laugh about the whole thing. But many millions of people are not laughing, and they're not laughing for one simple reason. Unlike the in-name-only GOP leadership that's afraid to touch a hair on Barack Obama's now rapidly graying head, Trump actually speaks his mind and doesn't back down. And so the American people are basically saying exactly what Abraham Lincoln had to say when other officers tried to tell him what a drunk and a clown and a loser Ulysses S. Grant was. Lincoln turned to them sadly, and without denying a word of the accusations, he simply said, "I can't spare this man. He fights." So let's bring in our trifecta stalwart Scott Ott, and sitting in for Stephen Green, who's out camping in the woods and hopefully will survive the bear attack, our friend the irrepressible Stephen Cruiser is with us today. Gentlemen, millions of American conservatives are rallying around this billionaire who's been a Republican and a Democrat and an independent, depending on which way the wind blows. Steve, do you think that's it? Do you think that in a world where, in the words of Mythios Holt, anyone who criticizes President Obama's golf swing is a racist, do you think that just fighting back alone is enough qualification for support these days?
I think it's a very good starting point, and I think Trump's detractors, where they err is in trying to paint this with some kind of really broad brush or trying to not do any engage in any self-examination, too. Trump is a reflection of a few things. The first one being how weary, as you mentioned, conservatives are with the Republican Party. We are extraordinarily disappointed in what we've been able to accomplish with this majority that I still think we have in Congress, but doesn't act like a majority, especially Mitch McConnell. He's just been absolutely awful from the beginning. I mean, in his very first post-election press conference last year, he basically made it clear that he was going to fight with Ted Cruz more than he was going to fight with the Democrats. Yep. So that's the first thing is the Republicans are very, this has gone on forever. This isn't something that's just bubbling up in the last year or two. We're talking about decades of this that's coming to the surface now. So that's the first aspect of it. The other aspect of it is something we were talking about right before we started rolling here, was that there are millions upon millions of people in America who vote but don't have their noses buried in Politico or HuffPo or whatever other political websites all day long. They're regular people who kind of start to get interested right now and then pick up steam as we get closer to the election. And they're finding Trump refreshing too. These are the people I've been meeting so far. My fiance's mother, people like that, they're just like, I kind of like the guy. You know, I like what he's saying. He sounds refreshing because he doesn't sound like a politician. If there's one thing that even the people who don't pay a lot of attention to politics know, is that politics isn't working well in America right now. And maybe we don't need too many more politicians running things to change politics. And so he's kind of, you know, just the fact that he's so shoot from the lip is appealing to people right now. I don't think it's enough in the end to fix things. But, you know, he's a reflection of how frustrated conservatives are with the Republican Party and a reflection of how frustrated regular Americans are with politics in general.
Yeah. Well, Scott, you've seen the reaction that Donald Trump has on people who on some level are in fact deeply concerned about his progressive stance on abortion and government-run universal health care and all the rest. Now, do you think that passion is a result, this passion that people have about Trump is a result of years and years and years of Boehner and McConnell. And for that matter, look, McCain and Romney and the legions of other highly placed GOP leaders who for years have simply refused to stop Barack Obama from destroying this country.
Absolutely. And what I would say to the folks who are enthused about Donald Trump right now, but concerned about his policy positions, you could go almost anywhere else in the Republican field and get somebody whose policy positions line up with yours a lot better than Donald Trump's. Mm-hmm. And the things you like about Donald Trump can be found elsewhere. If you want to find somebody who really goes up against the establishment, Ted Cruz is your guy. He stood up at Red State Gathering and directly, you know, doubled down on his accusation that Mitch McConnell told him a lie when he was talking about legislation. He said that from the Senate floor. And he said, you know, somebody said, they asked him, they said, do you think the Republicans in Congress are just not willing or able to fight? And Ted Cruz said, oh, they're willing and able to fight. They're just fighting for the other side. He was very direct about that. So if you want somebody who goes up against the Republican establishment, Ted Cruz is your guy. If you want somebody who knows how to handle the media, Carly Fiorina is your mm-hmm. candidate right there. Nobody does better at taking it to Hillary Clinton and talking to the media and staying on message than Carly Fiorina. Scott Walker also does a good job of coming out and just and bringing it to Hillary Clinton. So if you want somebody like that, that's great. If you want somebody who's just entertaining, well, heck, you still got Chris Christie and Mike Huckabee. Both of them are, you know, hail fellows, well met, and they're very funny to watch. And so you could find what you want elsewhere. Now, if you think that anybody who has ever worn the mantle of politician is thereby disqualified from being a politician, then I don't know what to tell you other than very soon, if you have your way, Donald Trump will be a mere politician.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, my friends, in a recent USA Today article, Glenn Reynolds talked about how the rise of Donald Trump on the right and Bernie Sanders on the left are both signs of how the American electorate is feeling orphaned by their mainstream political leadership. Now, we've seen this kind of thing before. Adolf Hitler and the National Socialists were only able to transform themselves from a 2% lunatic laughingstock fringe party to the rulers of Germany only because for two decades there was just massive failure on the part of the Weimar Republic leadership. Now, we're not in that kind of trouble here, not yet anyway. However, I would respectfully ask those Trump supporters to take their passions out of it for a moment and look at what the man really believes. He's not a conservative, and he's not a progressive either. Donald Trump is a Trumpian, in the same way his friends Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton are really Clintonians. And just because you know how to fight doesn't mean you know how to win, or deserve to, for that matter. Before calling U.S. Grant to come and take overall command of the Union armies and bring eventual victory, Lincoln had tried with John Pope, who had a swaggering confidence, and Fighting Joe Hooker, who had the same. Lee and Jackson thrashed Pope completely at Second Manassas, and Hooker, even worse, if such a thing were possible, at Chancellorsville. You know, there's more to winning than just being a fighter, although God knows it's a start. For PJTV, I'm Bill.
And of course, we do love Bill, and are you listening? And this is, you know, a lot of the problems that we have in here is a, you know, as you know, I've declared myself for the presidency, but I'm finding out that there's so much political stuff to even get there, which goes back to all these ridiculous regulations and what you have to do. It's a wonder that nobody can get on the ballot. It's no wonder that we can't get people out. And isn't that the bigger problem when you take away the freedoms that we worked so hard to get? You know, it's going back to, you know, the original, our founding fathers that did not design the crap that we have now. Okay. Now, you know, we talked about this in the first segment, and I said, look, I understand. And the first thing to correcting a problem is admitting you have one. Now, we have a problem. And there, to quote Thomas Jefferson, there will be tyranny. Okay? And if we don't fix it, it will only get worse. It will not go away. You cannot continue to kick the can down the road. But you can hear more about this stuff and read about this stuff and listen as you check out thebubbashow.org. And you can read about it in our Bubba Report. We've got all ways to pass information and make sure that you get the best of it. And, you know, as far as information as well, for my friends in Canada, and I have a lot of you up there, email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org and let me hook you up with Thinkorswim, TD Ameritrade, TD Waterhouse, because I'm tired of seeing you pay those big, healthy, juicy commissions. And I can get you on par with the American rates that everybody else gets, and we want to make it better for you, because we are big Thinkorswim supporters, and you know that's the platform of choice for myself and for the Badger, and it was built by traders for traders. So make sure that you get to me and let me know and let me help you out. We will be happy to help you. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We're going to step out here for a break and come back with more from Mr. Bill Whittle after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz.
Margie said roll.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic process.
The War State by Michael Swanson is a must-read for anyone interested in the critical 20 years after World War II, when the United States morphed from a constitutional republic to a global imperial superpower. Get The War State by Michael Swanson from Amazon.com today.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you. And of course, as I said, we're going to spend some time with Bill Whittle today and his Afterburner series. But again, you know, I want to remind everybody that it's all about us. Okay, we're the ones that are going to make things change. We're the ones that can affect change. But until we do, it makes it a lot more challenging to do so. But let's get back to Mr. Bill Whittle.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Afterburner. I'm Bill Whittle. I was sitting outside a restaurant in Studio City a few nights ago waiting to meet an old friend for dinner, and I happened to overhear, because you couldn't help but overhear, a young man who appeared to be in his late 20s explaining to the other four people at his table the many reasons that we did not, in fact, actually go to the moon. Some of the shadow angles don't match up, you see. Also, there are the impassable Van Allen radiation belts to consider. And there was no dust cloud when the lunar module landed and then took off. These were the mistakes that the hoaxers had made, apparently. But ultimately, he explained, the reason we never went to the moon in the first place is because we've never gone back. If we actually went to the moon when we didn't have sophisticated computers, he asked, why don't we simply go back any time now that we do? Well, I could have answered him about the distortion effects of wide-angle lenses, and I could have answered him about the rapid transit in shielded spacecraft through the Van Allen belts, and I could have explained that without air, there's nothing to hold up a dust cloud as there is here on Earth. But the one thing I didn't have the heart to explain to him was the fact that we haven't been back to the moon in 46 years is because we have become, as a nation, as a people, as stupid and weak-minded as he is. Now, this is something new to Western civilization anyway, although it was probably painfully familiar to observers of the late Romans and the late Greeks and the late British Empire. This isn't ignorance. Ignorance is the lack of knowledge that is yet to be obtained. Now, what we're seeing in the moon landing conspiracy types and 9/11 conspiracy types and all the rest are not people speaking from ignorance of knowledge as yet unobtained. They're speaking about things that we already know, and they're not so much forgetting as they are unlearning. We live in the age of the great unlearning, a time when more and more people simply walk away from the library of hard-won knowledge and achievement because they're bored with it. in the age of the two-minute attention span, it's much harder to actually learn about what it takes to go to the moon, of the 400,000 people who worked for NASA in those golden years, of the engine and rocket and spacesuit designs won through applied intelligence and trial and error, of the missteps and lives lost in burning capsules and missiles and training, actual intensity and duration crossing the Van Allen belts, or of how the lack of atmosphere makes fine dust spray like water and actually produces the best visual evidence that we actually were on another world. A person who believes that a bent shadow on a photo taken with a fisheye lens overrides the idea that 400,000 employees plus the Russians are in on a giant conspiracy that could put a Saturn V rocket into orbit 13 times but somehow can't accomplish the extra 2% energy needed to get to the moon, well, that person's not ignorant. He's not stupid. He's unlearned what he and everyone else once knew. He's bored, and he wants attention, and he doesn't want to have to do any actual work to get it. A growing society demands libraries for the education and enlightenment of its people. A healthy society is one where trips to the library are commonplace. A decaying society is one where abandoned libraries are looted and the only things not stripped out of it for resale are the books. And just because the library now fits in the palm of your hand doesn't mean we haven't abandoned a trip to the library now that the library consists of just pushing a button. So, what do we do about all this? Well, first we have to get a handle on the problem. The problem's not stupidity, it's boredom, it's laziness. And finally, it's this. It's a society of spectators rather than doers. How many times have I seen video of brutal fights or assaults or horrific injuries or some other catastrophe and watched screaming two-legged chimps holding up their smartphones to be the first person to video it and then post it on YouTube instead of getting in there and helping somebody? How do we resist this temptation to record things instead of actually experience them? And what do we do about things like this? You know, right after the shooting of Cecil the Lion, this picture made the rounds of the internet. It's a picture of Steven Spielberg posing with a life-size fiberglass replica of a Triceratops on the set of Jurassic Park. Now, someone interviewed young people in Britain about this picture and asked what they thought about big game hunting. And the young people were shocked and outraged. Those that recognized Steven Spielberg expressed disappointment in him for committing such a horrible crime. And what's remarkable about the answers, which were edited for effect, obviously, was the fact that almost everyone knew that that was, in fact, a dinosaur, but you could see them doing mental gymnastics to try to find a way to believe what they were seeing. Was that a rhinoceros? Look, in other words, they knew, on some level, they knew that it was a dinosaur, and on some level, they also knew that dinosaurs were extinct. But what society demanded of them right now was outrage over the killing of a large animal, and that's what society got from them as they unlearned in real time on camera everything they knew in order to achieve the desired emotional response. In other words, critical thinking, the ability to confront the picture with what they knew about the facts, namely that this photo cannot be what it appears to be since dinosaurs are extinct. Well, critical thinking's never been taught to them. Young people today, and millennials in particular, have only been taught what to think and never taught how to think. So how do we fix that? Well, all I can say is one person at a time. We handed off entire generations to a public school system that we knew was becoming ever more politicized as it became ever less effective at, you know, actually educating people. We simply have to go out there and relearn these people. Mythbusters, for example, did an incredibly effective job at debunking those people that think the lunar landing was a hoax. It's one shining example of us taking responsibility for our laxity over the last four decades. Homeschooling, charter schooling, and all the rest, those are great options too. But ultimately, we have to face up to the ugly fact that it's the parent, not the child, that pays for the smartphone camera that's turned us into a nation of watchers and not doers, that it's the parent and not the child that parks kids in front of Xboxes and iPads instead of taking them to museums and field trips, and that it is incumbent upon all of us, me included, to resist the temptation to just sail into these unlearned children with the wrath of those of us who struggle for precious knowledge against those who have wantonly wasted it, and then patiently and gently explain to them the greater miracles that they have closed their eyes to in this great unlearning.
And, you know, as we talk about often here on the show, is the education of America. And, you know, it's sad. It's sad to me, which is why I have, obviously, I volunteer and have a high school program, because our education in this country has become very poor. It's become a land of, okay, we have to make sure that we test well so that we can get some more federal money. We have to make sure that we do this. So we don't teach practical skills. We teach how to take the next test. Now, one of the problems with that is when you're working on taking the next test, okay, what practical application and skill does that teach you? Okay, where does that take you into the next stage of your life? You know, when I went to school, they had home economics, they had woodworking, they had a work study program. God forbid, you know, our kids should not, you know, maybe they don't have to go to college. Maybe they can learn a skill. And I'm not recommending that they do or do not go. I'm saying I think education is a wonderful thing. But some are not cut out for it. And some, you know, are better that can learn a skill or a trade. Of course, we've gone away from real practical experience, as Bill had pointed out, with the throwing everybody in front of an Xbox. What happened with throwing everybody out in the backyard or at a park with your friends and learn the common sense of putting together a game by yourself? You know, what happened to the ability to get your friends together and everybody just have a meeting point and where we could all learn a little bit more common sense instead of learning how to work the next new gadget, and where we can no longer have to speak or communicate, but we can actually just text everybody and stay away from actual physical or personal contact. You know, those are things, and of course, you know, I talk about them often, but those are things that bother me, and that's where I see the world changing for the worse. I think that lack of being able to shake somebody's hand or whatever. I get so pissed when I call somewhere and I got to go through 8,000 buttons just to get to maybe a real person. And that real person is typically not in this country, which is another problem. But here we are. And of course, we do address a lot of this and stuff at The Bubba Show, thebubbashow.org. And, you know, make sure that, you know, all these shows are on demand whenever you want to listen to them. If you're not available when they air, you can always go back and get them at libertytalk.fm. And also just remember that when you're trading, commissions are a big part of the business. And old Bubba here gets you a special break with Thinkorswim. Whether you're a United States citizen or a Canadian citizen, I can help you. And all you have to do is send me an email to Bubba at thebubbashow.org and say, Bubba, I need some help. I'm paying too much, and I know you can help me, and I'll be happy to do so. But in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We're going to step out here for a break. We're going to come back with more from our friend Bill Whittle, because we do love what he has to say. And again, I don't tell you that it has to be your opinion, but I think open-minded and learning and educating yourself is always better, because I'm a big fan of knowledge is power. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you, and we're listening to and chatting with a little bit with Mr. Bill Whittle. And as everybody talks about the female candidate of Hillary Clinton, how come nobody's talking about someone who I think is actually very good, and that's Carly Fiorina? Check it out. Let's listen with her and Bill Whittle.
Jefferson seems to be a lot more secure, not just...
The primary season is finally heating up, and all the land is abuzz with talk of America's first female president. By all the land, I, of course, mean the media and power brokers of the Democratic National Committee. To hear them tell the story, Mrs. Bubba is the only woman running for president. As many Americans are finally finding out, however, the Republicans have a woman who has actually accomplished something in the race, and her name is Carly Fiorina. Before we go any further, I'd like to make a little disclaimer here. The emotions are running very high this year, and I found that if I say anything nice at all about one of the 682 Republican candidates, I'm immediately accused of being in the tank for that candidate. I haven't picked one yet. We're merely having a conversation because this is Trifecta, the conversation place. I'd like to thank you all for joining us today. I'm Stephen Kreuzer, and I'm filling in for Stephen Green this week. Let us now welcome your two Trifecta regulars, Scott Ott and Bill Whittle. Gentlemen, last week, Carly Fiorina was handed some lemons and made gallons of lemonade out of them when she managed to be the talk of both debates despite being relegated to the one that aired at 2 in the afternoon here on the West Coast and had almost no live audience. She was prepared and polished on every topic. In fact, during this under-the-radar campaign she's been running, almost all of her media appearances have been fantastic, which is quite refreshing given what the GOP has had to deal with for the past couple of elections. Until almost being forced to respond to the controversy about Donald Trump this week and Megyn Kelly, Fiorina had been relentless in her focus on Hillary Clinton. So, Scott, I'll go to you first. Much like the other non-politician who is currently leading the polls, Fiorina doesn't speak in canned political soundbites and isn't afraid to hit the Democrats and the media hard. In fact, she recently said the Republicans need a candidate who will throw every punch in this election. Another thing she has in common with that frontrunner is that she's never held elective office. Is this interminably long primary season perhaps set up in Carly Fiorina's favor? If she makes it into the primetime debates, could she emerge as maybe a less bombastic alternative to Trump for those who are tired of the same old thing from the party?
Well, from the first video that I saw of Carly Fiorina, you know, she was actually speaking at a really badly sort of handheld flip video little tape on YouTube where she was talking to a group of people in Iowa. And she gave a little speech and then she took questions from the audience. And I was just struck by how relaxed and confident she was, at how in command of the facts, at how she had clearly thought through what she wanted to say so that she could say things in a compelling fashion. And she'd really kind of gone above, I mean, certainly above the kind of preparation that Donald Trump has put into his public appearances where he just seems to be winging it. And she's just really in command of the whole situation. When she's interviewed by the media, she's running that show, too. It is really impressive. And she does it in a gracious way. And so, I was fascinated. And I thought the more people see her, the more they're going to like her. Now, at a certain point, there is sort of a laffer curve in politics that when you get to a certain point of popularity, everybody else starts to hammer on you viciously. And that hasn't really hit for Carly yet. It will soon.
I've noticed some of the Trumpians hitting back harder at her this week as if, you know, they're trying to be dismissive, but they're being dismissive a lot about her. I'm reminded of something that Eddie Murphy said about when he first became famous. People were acting like it was all handed to him. He said, no, the door opened a little bit. I stuck my foot in it and then I kicked it open. That's kind of what Carly did the other day, I think. You know, people like my mother who are political but don't pay attention to politics all the time. She called me the next day. She said, I had no idea who she was. And then I just wanted to find out more as soon as I saw her. So I like the fact that she's doing a lot with very little right now. Now, Bill, I don't like identity politics, neither do you. And without playing the game, the GOP has actually come up with a rather diverse field this cycle. Would the presence of Carly Fiorina anywhere on the ticket diffuse some of Hillary's bluster about being a powerful woman, or will Carly get hit with the gender traitor nonsense? And if the Republicans end up with a ticket that features a woman and, say, a Cuban-American, will MSNBC have to be put on 24/7 suicide watch?
Well, from your lips to God's ears, first of all, on the second point, and let's not watch them too carefully. Let's, you know, go out for a sandwich midnight or so, especially if it's raining. Look, I think Carly Fiorina is Donald Trump plus poise and character, right? She's Hillary Clinton plus competence and honesty. So she would make a superb president. I don't have any problem at all for her at the top of the ticket. Anybody who's been successful in the private sector knows how to run a big business in the federal government's a $4 trillion business. We could do infinitely worse than that. In fact, we're doing much, much, much worse than that right now. However, I think she would be the ideal vice presidential candidate. And I just want to clarify this by saying if she is the top of the ticket, she has my enthusiastic vote. But the reason I say second position is simply because I would like to see somebody with a little more of the constitutional aspect. I'd like to see Ted Cruz and Carly Fiorina. I think it'd be a great ticket. Ted Cruz understands the Constitution. Ted Cruz lives and dies by the Constitution. Ted Cruz's father fled Cuba because of the Constitution. And of all the things we need in the country right now, Steve, we need economic sanity, which is Carly Fiorina's bag, and we need a return to the law, which is the horn that Ted Cruz has been blowing. The reason especially that I like her for a VP candidate is because traditionally, and I think this is sound policy, doesn't matter which party, the vice president is the attack dog, and the presidential candidate gets to float above the fray and, you know, and be clouded in his nimbus of glory. And so if you're really going to ask yourself who would be the most effective attack on Hillary Clinton, it would be Carly Fiorina, because she does in fact negate the women's angle because of this gender identity politics we find ourselves in. No one is going to be able to attack Hillary Clinton to the bone except for another woman and get away with it, because Hillary Clinton's going to just rally this as part of the war on women, but it's going to be tough to make the case that it's a war on women if the most effective incoming rounds are coming from a woman who's everything that Hillary Clinton wants to be and isn't.
Stephen, can I throw in something?
Yes.
I covered a bunch of presidential candidate speeches at Red State Gathering this past weekend and posted them to PJ Media. Of the seven or eight, I forget how many speakers there were, but of all those stories, the one that was shared more times on Facebook by far than any of the others was the story I wrote on Carly Fiorina. I'm not sure it's because people were suddenly waking up to Carly Fiorina, or it's because of the headline that had Carly Fiorina say, "We need to be able to throw every punch." And I think she can do that uniquely in a way that none of the other candidates can. And people, at least on PJ Media and at Red State, really responded to it.
Well, although I haven't picked anyone yet, one thing I can guarantee that I believe wholeheartedly is that if it is a Cruz Fiorina ticket, every punch will in fact be thrown. There will be nothing held back there. It won't be a sparring session. It will be the rumble in the jungle, and it'll be fun to watch. Folks, I don't know who's going to end up winning this hot mess. The Republicans have a very talented field of candidates, and I'm willing to think outside the box for this election because I want a candidate who can beat Hillary Clinton, not an eHarmony date, okay? I don't care if the eventual nominee and I don't sync up on all 29 levels of compatibility or on every issue. I should note also here that I worked very hard against Carly Fiorina in the Republican primary in 2010 when she was running for Senate here in California. I thought she was horrible with the media back then and a lousy debater. And then every one of my friends who's seen her live this year has come away amazed and told me about it, and I was waiting to see for myself. She is one of maybe four Republicans in the last 20 years who can answer a question about abortion without tripping all over herself, and I find that very, very refreshing. She doesn't allow the media to manhandle her. That would have been a wonderful quality for the most recent Republican presidential nominee to have, don't you think? As I said at the top of the show, she didn't complain about her circumstances for the first debate. She took what she was given, came out swinging, and made something out of it. After almost 7 years of a president who whines about everything, I found that really, really refreshing and thought it would be a nice change of pace for this great land to have a leader like that.
And of course, we agree that, you know, again, we're not endorsing. I'm endorsing Baba Me. But I mean, that is what we want. We want somebody who is actually going to take charge and really run the US of A like the business that it is, instead of the entitlement society and charity that it's become. Anyways, make sure that you get the Bubba Show on demand at libertytalk.fm. Make sure you check out our friends at Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. And make sure, most of all, you come back tomorrow to the Bubba Show and check out thebubbashow.org. This is the Bubba Show. I hope everybody has a great day. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today. Again, check out thebubbashow.org to see what we're talking about. And we will be back here tomorrow. Same time, same station, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks.
Turn the quiet up.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.